Hello to the beloved Beis Yaakov of Denver alumni. It's an honor to connect with you and to share a practical thought with you today that I hope Ezras Hashem will be a guidepost to uplift your Pesach and beyond. Our Halakha Torah is comprised of both the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. We find an interesting phenomenon throughout Tanakh, where the Torah Shebichsav paints one picture, and then the Torah Shebaal Peh fills in many details, some of which seem to paint a very different picture. I'll share with you a couple of examples. For the past several weeks, the weekly Parsha has dealt with the Avodah of the Mishkan. The Torah Shebichsav presents this story as a seamless flow of command, collection, construction, and dedication. However, the Torah Shebaal Peh fills in details that show us that the process was not quite as smooth as it appears. Shockingly, there were those who suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of pocketing funds and demanded that he make an accounting for each and every single ounce of each and every single item. Moshe humbly conceded to their demands, presenting a detailed account of every dollar of the building campaign, so to speak. At one point, Moshe couldn't recall what he had used some of the silver for, and the rumors went wild until he finally remembered the silver hooks on the pillars that he had used them for. Moshe came away clean, and the Jewish people calmed down. Another quote-unquote hiccup occurred during the building process. When told to fashion the intricate and ornate menorah, Moshe was confounded and didn't understand how to make it. Hashem tried to explain it, then Hashem tried to show him an image, all to no avail. In the end, Hashem instructed Moshe to throw the gold into the fire and Hashem himself would create the menorah. When it came time to set up the Mishkan, there was yet another glitch. No one could succeed in lifting the walls. How anticlimactic! In the end, Moshe himself lifted the walls. Another example of these dual narratives can be seen in the story of Brias HaOlam. The Psukim paint a picture of seamless facts, yet the Torah Shebaal Peh tells us that each day brought challenges and setbacks, whether it was the Midas HaEmes opposing the whole concept of creation, the Mayim Tachtonim complaining of their lot remaining down here on earth instead of like the Mayim Elyonim that get to be up in Shamayim, the moon being shrunk after stating that Efshar lishnei malachim sheishtamshu bekeser echad, the malachim opposing the idea of creating a human being. Those are just a sample of some of the complications during the first week. And yet, Hashem states at the end of the story, Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. Tov ma'od? Really? What about all those setbacks that transpired? And we're left with a puzzling conundrum. Why would the Torah Shebichsav leave out these details and present such a smooth and seamless picture? Is it to teach us perhaps to repress one's imperfections? Is there something shameful about imperfections and setbacks? Should we pretend everything's perfect when it's not? That doesn't sound right. And to make the question even greater, we know that there are plenty of places where the Torah does not hide the mistakes and shortcomings of some of the greatest tzaddikim and tzidkaniyos who have ever walked on the face of the earth. As Mrs. Schwab has said, theirs is a Bible filled with saints. Ours seems to be a Bible filled with sinners. And if the Torah is trying to brush things under the rug, why would the Torah Shebaal Peh be allowed to let the cat out of the bag and fill us in on the real story? The answer is a crucial and profound lesson for life. Dear alumni, especially as Jewish women, we play so, so many roles. We might be wives, mothers, grandmothers, mothers-in-law, daughters, daughters-in-law, sisters, sisters-in-law, aunts, cousins, friends, community members, employees, employers, just to name a few. We might be juggling the chinuch of children, doctor's appointments, bills, supper, Shabbos, Yom Tov, laundry, dishes, carpools, and more. And with all of those multiple roles, come a myriad of details and subcategories of subcategories. There's a lot of room and potential for challenges, setbacks, and frustrations. The Torah is teaching us that when we look at our lives, we should not let the problems color the entire perspective of the events and situations that we're experiencing. Not because the problems don't exist, not because they should be swept under the rug, but because we can't let them define the story of our lives. And therefore, we have the freedom to decide to not make them the main part of the narrative. In the above examples, something amazing was happening. Hashem was making a dwelling place for himself within Klal Yisrael. The world was being created, Yesh Me'ayin. That is the story. Sure, there are bumps on the road, and the Torah Shebaal Peh points them out because they have to be acknowledged and they have to be dealt with appropriately. But they don't deserve to negatively color the entire picture, nor should they detract from the awesomeness of what's occurring. They can't dampen and obscure the majestic power and beauty of the above events. Life can be tough. Creating a lasting marriage takes work and can be challenging and sometimes difficult. To develop a relationship with Hashem can also be difficult at times. Raising children, making a parnasa, come with numerous setbacks. In our lives, we may face adversity, grief, loss, times of pain, and of heartbreak. There are squabbles, differences of opinions, moments of anger, setbacks, illness, financial stress, and spiritual confusion. But we have the choice not to make any of the above the story of our lives. Of course, raising children is hard, but each child is a miracle. Frustrations at work are part of the journey of providing a service to society, of earning a parnasa to enhance our lives and the lives of those around us. We need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, what is the story? What is really happening here? Is my life a litany of hardship and struggle? Or am I doing incredible work? I'm building a Torah home. I'm living a Torah life. I'm an Eved Hashem. I'm building a family, a loving marriage. I'm helping people. I'm studying Torah. I'm spreading Torah. I'm doing mitzvos. I'm trying to inspire others. That is my story. That is my life. The other parts are, of course, true, and they deserve to be acknowledged. The Torah Shebaal Peh doesn't hide it. I must deal with each challenge and attempt to repair it, but I cannot allow it to become the story. The most emancipating geula we can experience is that within our own minds, freeing our minds, our attitudes, our thoughts. Freedom is sourced in the mind. It is a mindset. And each of us has the freedom of choice to define and reframe the story of our lives. When I open up my eyes in the morning, I might have 50 things to do, and some are going to be difficult. But that's not the story. The story is that I get to spend another day on this beautiful planet where I can grow and I can change and I can evolve and I can spend time with loved ones. I can learn Torah. I can do mitzvos. I can daven. I can make the lives of other people better. And for that, I'm grateful. And therefore, the first words out of my mouth are Moda Ani. Yes, I have to pay bills. I have to deal with a migraine. I have to run to the doctor. I have to return the shoes and see if they have them in another size. I might have jury duty. I might have to call my kid's principal or go to the dentist. But that's not the story. This Pesach is also comprised of so many details. The cleaning, the cooking, the hosting, the entertaining, multiple people under one roof spending lots of quality time together, cholamoid plans, trying to connect spiritually to the Yom Tov, and more. Ladies, it's inevitable that there will be frustrations. Maybe circumstances this year don't allow you to sit down Seder night to a table that's in a sparkling living room with china and crystal. Maybe you're sitting down to a kosher for Pesach living room, and there might be a stray cobweb in the corner of the ceiling here or there. Maybe your mother-in-law is going to make a stinging comment, or maybe a kid will spill grape juice on another kid and they'll get into a fight, or the cake you were so excited to try looks nothing like the picture in the cookbook. But let's see the entirety of the picture for what it is. you, my friend, are celebrating the wondrous holiday of Pesach. Most likely, you are the one who enabled your family to celebrate this glorious holiday because of your tireless efforts. The story is that you are another link in a glorious chain, passing down this story of Shibu to Geula that has been told year after year for at least 3,300 years. The story is that celebrating Pesach is highlighting the fact that you are part of an amazing nation with a past like no other, and Emirat Hashem, a future like no other. B'nisan nig'alu u'b'nisan asidin l'higa'el. May the Ribono Shel Olam send Klal Yisrael the much needed Besuros Tovos, Yeshuos V'nechamos, and may we be Zocha to live our lives seeing them in the entirety of our stories. Thank you.